KCR 101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, welcome back to ER 101. We're talking with Dr. Rebecca Parker. She's the American College of Emergency Physician Board of Director and Clinical Assistant Professor for the Department of Emergency Medicine at Texas Tech University Health Science Center. And there was an interesting article that came out about urgent care now, because it seems like there are more and more urgent cares that are trying to fill this void that's happening with the Affordable Care Act, since we don't have enough primary care. But this article talked about how patients are sort of thinking it's the same thing as an emergency department, and they're coming in really sick to these urgent cares. What do you think about this?
I think it's a definite trend, and the article does a nice job of giving some examples. So I think patients are seeking this care as being a little less expensive, but perhaps are misguided in where they should go. The other thing that we're seeing anecdotally in the Chicago area are that health systems are actually requiring their primary physicians and tracking and trending their primary care physicians on how they are referring patients, whether they're referring them to urgent care or the ED. And one system that I work with, they actually track if the patient ends up in the ED or not. So they're looking for accuracy as well. So I think there's a shift in the medical community to the use of urgent care systems over EDs, but we need to work on the right place at the right time for the patient.
Right. Well, one of the things that I work urgent care shifts too, and I have noticed that, you know, one time a colleague and I were talking, who was an ER physician who started a bunch of them himself, and he really thought at this point people kind of self-triage, they know, but they don't. They see the red X or, you know, cross, and they think, you know, anything can happen. And, you know, I've seen the gamut of, you know, people coming in and collapsing to the mm-hmm. point of, and it really depends on the urgent care too. Some can draw blood to look, you know, for belly pain example we were talking about on the break. You know, you could use some blood work to decipher, is there something with your liver, your pancreas? I mean, and someone coming into an urgent care that doesn't do any blood work, you know, there's really not much for making the diagnosis.
Absolutely. And those patients often come to us very quickly from the urgent care. You mentioned, you know, abdominal pain, frequently they come almost right over. Chest pain, shortness of breath, those kinds of life threats, the urgent care centers are sending over very quickly to us. So I think people need to sort of understand what the urgent care clinics can do, which is sort of some of the more minor emergencies, but not these serious, significant emergencies where you need the backup of the hospital, the labs, the CAT scan, the cardiologist, those quick resources for those acute illnesses.
Right. So while we're talking about this, what, if you wanted to tell, what are like critical warning signs that you should maybe think twice about showing up in an urgent care if you have any of these symptoms or warnings?
Sure. Well, anything that's like a heart attack, chest pain, pain down the arm, shortness of breath, nausea, feeling indigestion. And women should remember that they will have symptoms that could be what we call atypical or not typical of what a classic heart attack would seem like. They might feel dizzy or weak. Those are things that they should primarily come to ED for. Signs of a stroke, weakness, not able to speak, mm-hmm. problems walking, problems breathing, things like seizures, passing out, heavy bleeding. Those sorts of things need to come to the ED. And when in doubt, they can call 911. The medics can often help sort through it, and one. And two, they also start treatment early. I'll give an example back to a heart attack. Many systems now can do what we call an EKG in the field, which lets us know whether or not there's an acute heart attack happening, and they transmit it to the hospital. So if you are having a significant heart attack, we can mobilize our resources even before you get there to be able to treat it.
Right. And do you tell people, you know, if they're in doubt to to call 911? People have this conception, maybe, I don't know if I'm that sick. Maybe I shouldn't call. I mean, I have problems arguing getting people to go in ambulances from the urgent care to the ER.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But, well, 911 is our safety net. It is, you know, it's sponsored by our different public works throughout the country. There are some statistics out there that EMS sometimes doesn't transport, maybe some people say 20%, some people say as high as 30% of patients after their assessment. So we've trained our paramedics to do what we call triage, or deciding what resources are needed. And, you know, when in doubt, use that service. It's built to address emergencies, and if they come out and there isn't an emergency, that's fine as well. People should err on the side of safety.
Yeah. Well, we could do another show, because there is this move today. It used to be a service and your taxes covered it completely, but I have been hearing rumblings and read some articles too about even city jurisdictions, different cities having to charge bills for transportation, which is tough today. But I guess there's a lot of also volunteer places that can't stay afloat, but that's a whole nother topic. The other thing that I find interesting is, so all these urgent cares are popping up, but they still have the same issue that we have as a whole. They're all competing for the same groups of doctors. There aren't enough doctors, you know? So sometimes a lot of them will have these physician extenders. And I guess it depends on the state if they can practice on their own license, right, and write prescriptions and things?
Correct, yes. Nurse practitioners and physician assistants are commonly in these environments. And nurse practitioners, it does vary by state. They tend to have more independence than the physician assistants do. But they are a different type of provider, so people need to keep that in mind. They're great for sort of those minor care, minor injury situations. But the other emergencies we described really needs a physician involved, and is in that way more appropriate to be in the emergency department as well.
Right, and there used to be a rule with Medicare patients, and I don't know if it still holds, that their very first visit to a center, which I guess they're considering urgent cares like primary cares, has to be by a physician first, you know? Otherwise, you're not going to be covered. So I don't know if that's still in effect, but that used to be the issue. They are doing some changes to Medicare to try and work with it through this Affordable Care Act, but that's another thing to consider. And that's the other thing. People don't realize, you know, they charge the money up front, these urgent cares, as opposed to emergency rooms, which just get you into triage and take care of the problem, right?
Correct, yes. So they do solicit co-pays up front, just like an office would, versus the emergency department. We ask that question later. It's required by law, but also because it's, you know, sort of the right thing to do. And going back to your point about nurse practitioners and PAs and Medicare, I think that's a great point. And really the initial way that these people are trained is to be extenders of the physician. So the physician does the initial assessment and hands off the care to that type of provider. So that is the way that those providers were originally trained to, that's the environment they're trained to work in.
Yeah, I don't know if they are trying to fill a void, and they're important, and they do fill a void, because we do have a shortage of physicians at this point for our population, so they're important, but you have to... I guess they have to work in their comfort zone too, and you have to realize that also. We only have about 30 seconds, but I think another big issue is the elderly coming to urgent care. They have multiple medical problems, and often they need more extensive workup in the ER, so that's another thing to think about. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Parker. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.